for their wonderful introduction. Let us remain standing. We sit too quickly. Hallelujah. First, we want to give honor to God and to the absence of our bishop and first lady. And I just want to make maybe two announcements. One, I want you to clap hands to yourselves for last week for a wonderful, wonderful fellowship dinner. Every person that participated, we want to, come on, you can do better than that. That shows the unity of this house. What an awesome, awesome, awesome time we had on last week. We had an awesome time. And then I want to also for you to clap for all the individuals on behalf of Pastor that showed up on Tuesday and worked and gave out all those foods to those family. Clap. Come on. You can do better than that. So many people were happy because of your giving. So many people were happy because of your faithfulness. So many people were happy. And they know that this church is a beacon of light. And you are one of the lights that keeps shining in this neighborhood. We were a blessing. We had an awesome time. We had fun. We fellowshipped and we laughed and we worked and we blessed others. And I thank God for having the opportunity on Tuesday for being here. It was an awesome time in God. We had a time. Let's remain standing. Sister Hustler already prayed, so I'm not going to pray. Turn your Bibles to Psalms, the 23rd Psalms this morning. I'm going to try not to be long in front of you. The 23rd Psalms, and I believe the song, everything is like a paragraph this morning, adding to what God has given me. The 23rd Psalms, you should know it probably by heart. We may not even need to read it out of the Bible. But we don't want to be ignorant concerning the word of God. Let's go to Psalms 23rd, the whole entire chapter. And it reads as thus, the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, and he leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley and the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemy. Thou anointed my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. You may be seated. I don't really have a topic, but the psalmist David wrote this particular psalm, and I believe it's today. We have often quoted it and say it and rehearsed it and taught our children it. But do we really know what it really means from the 23rd Psalms this morning? We are going to really dissect every scripture in that particular text and understanding what God was really saying to David, not just for David, but also for us. First, the 23rd verse, verses 1. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. The emphasis in Psalms 23 is the good shepherd. We have to understand that God is our shepherd and we are the sheep of his pastures. Understanding that being a sheep is important because in the last day, he also talked about sheep and goats being in the same pasture and he will do the separating. You have to understand that you've got to be a sheep instead of a goat. You've got to learn and come to the realization that we are sheep in God's pastures. And if you are a child of God, you are under the shepherding of the Holy Spirit of God. First, we understand that he is the good shepherd. He is the one that laid down his life for the sheep. He is also the one that if the 99 remain and one goes astray, he goes after that one. That one is just as important as the 99. Secondly, His sheep know his voice and follow him. One of the key indications that we have to understand, stop saying you a sheep, but you don't follow the voice. Stop saying you a sheep, but you don't follow the word of God. If you are a sheep, you follow the word of the Lord. And you follow by his statutes and his commandments and his precept and everything that's according to this word. Many of us claim to be sheep, but we are more like goat. We got a spirit of a goat. We got an attitude of a goat. We got a behavior of a goat. We are only having form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. In Isaiah, as God said, we are all like sheep that have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. When sheep go astray, they are all in danger of getting lost, being attacked, even being killed or throwing or being fallen off a cliff or getting hurt. We all have a strong tendency to go astray as sheep, to follow the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, and of our eyes. Jesus declared that he is the good shepherd and demonstrate how he gives his life for each and every single sheep. We must understand that the Lord said, I shall not want. Philippians 4:19 said, but my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. A few weeks ago, Pastor preached a message just on this one subject, all. We often look at the word all and don't understand that everything that you need, God's got it. He said, I own a cattle over 1,000 hills. I own it all. I own the banks. I own the houses, I own the jobs, I own everything, not just something, but everything. So why are Christians not using the tools that God has given us to operate in the all blessings? You don't have to lack unless you want to. You don't have to not have unless you choose to. Because your daddy gives you all you need. But let me give you an explanation. Need and want are two different things. Many of us want. We want a big house. We want a nicer car. We want a better job. We want. But our needs is what God supplies. Your want is what you show off with. Your want is who you want to brag against. Your want is because of your selfish ambition. In Jamaica, they have a thing called red eye, which meaning you covenant somebody else's stuff, something that don't belong to you. But our needs, health and strength, our needs, you got a job to go to every day. Your need, the heat is on at your house right now because it's about 19 degrees outside. Come on, let's be real. Your needs are satisfied. Your needs are taken care of. We often forget that God is not going to supply our selfish ambition. He's going to supply all of our needs. He didn't say your wants. He said your needs. He'll give you everything according to his will. Can I be real this morning? Some of us, if we're really true to be honest, we are blessed beyond measure. Come on, let's be real. Come on, let's be real. All you've been through and all that God has brought you through and all that you have now, you, some of you remember that you didn't have no pot to piss in. Let's be real. You didn't have a hot, now you got a lot of handbags, now you got a lot of ties, now you got a lot of shoes, now you got all these things, you got a job. Isn't that a blessing all by itself? The Lord not only gives his people what they need, but he supplies it in abundance. In the midst of difficult times, and sometimes even in our difficult times, we are like the woman with the widow woman that only had a little bit of meal and a little bit of oil and flour, and God keeps producing for us, and God keeps building us, God keeps blessing us, God keeps opening doors, God keeps doing what he does best, supplying all of our needs. This abundance is not limited to material blessings, because oftentimes we think our natural needs, it's more important than our spiritual needs. We also have spiritual need, just like we need to be fed each and every day. The word of God. God gives us our daily bread. He doesn't have what the word said. He said, I give you, give us our daily bread, which meaning we get manna from heaven, manna from the word of God, manna as we pray, manna as we fast, manna as we intercede. He gives us everything we need. The shepherd. And he also says to us, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all, hear that word again, all and all, not some, not a little bit, not 20%, not 30%, not 50%, but 100% of his blessing. Isn't that a blessing? The 100% of his blessing. And all these things, what are things? Things that we desire. He said, I'll give you the desires of your heart. That's the word of God. He said, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Isn't that the word? So if you match up the word with your spirituality and your life, what good thing God will withhold from you? He said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging for bread. So you can't tell me God won't provide all of your needs. You got to be careful. Is it God's will for you to have that car? Is it God's will for you to have that house? Is it God's will for you to have that man that don't belong to you? Because he's nice now. But God sees down the road. He sees the demon in that person. He sees the spirit of abuse. He sees the whoremonging spirit. God sees more than what we see. And sometimes we are all like little children. If our daddy or mother don't give us what we want or desire, we throw a tantrum. Come on now, Christian. Come on now. Come on now. Let's be real. When we ask for something and we don't get it, what happens? We throw a fit. We get upset. God, I think I deserve it. I need it. I want it, God. And God said, no, no, no. If I give you that house, you won't be at church every Sunday. I know your spirit. You'll be more clean in the house than coming to worship God. So I want to keep you humble here. Then I'll build you up there. And God does things in steps and levels. I'm not at Brother Ron's level. I'm not at Sister House's level. So their blessing is their blessing. Your blessing is your blessing. He knows what you can handle and what you can't handle. So I don't have to be jealous of them, but I'm thankful for them. Because when I see them being blessed, I know that I'm next in line for a blessing. I know that my time is coming. Oh, trouble don't last always. Fire don't last always. I understand that if they're being blessed and I'm connected to God, my Father will not withhold no good thing from me. So you ain't got to be upset. You ain't got to be jealous. I love when people of God get stuff, because I touch and agree. I say, God, thank you for my sister's new stuff. Oh, in fact, sometimes I don't even say for her stuff, for our stuff. Because when you get it, we get it. Come on now. Because everything we have belongs to him. And we understand that. And it's only alone for the time while you were here. Because once you go, you can't bring it with you. When we believe to follow the shepherd, we too know that we will all have all we need. We will not lack anything in our life. Nothing spiritually, nothing physically, nothing psychologically, nothing emotionally. Nothing will be lacked in God. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. I'm getting kind of hot, so I got to take this off. Thank you, brother. In Psalms, we hear the word path, meaning the well word path, the rut. In other words, when sheep wander onto a new path, they start to explore. It's just like us Christians. We hear a new pastor coming or a prophet coming in. We want to not come to our church, but we want to go over there. Because you already got a prophet here, but you don't want to listen to the prophet here. You want the prophet liars over there to tell you foolishness. Let's be real. We begin to wander off in other people's territory. Stay in the grass field that God has planted you. That's why too many saints are bugged out. Too many saints are out of whack. Too many saints have the spirit of a vagabond. You don't have no dwelling place. You don't have no home. As soon as somebody comes with another gospel, preaching something else that is itching to your ear, you begin to run over there. And you don't understand that's the enemy set up to destroy you. It's the enemy set up to cause you to lose your soul. It's the enemy set up to cause you to move from God and begin to serve the devil. You got to be careful of the path or the pastor where you go in. Because not every path that it is clean or godly. Not every vessel is holy. Can we be real? Amen. Let's be real. Stay in the pasture where God has placed you. Use your gifts and your talents and work at it so it can make room for you. Do what God has called you to do here. Because can I tell you something? Every church got their own problem. You want us to be real? You go over there, they have a problem just like ours. They got the same issues, the same devils, but it's just a different face. Let's be real. Come on now. You could call 12 pastors in this city. And there's about 3 things that all churches experience. The lack of faithfulness, the lack of servanthood, and the lack of love in the saints. You could go to every church, and those are 3 things that you can find a main common that's going on in the body of Christ. You don't even have to have the prophetic to know that. Come on now. If you have a relationship with him, he'll tell you these things. And so we have to stay in the path where God has laid us. Do not be carried away. Hebrews 13 verses 9. Do not be carried away by all kinds of strange teachings. Everywhere something is going on, you want to be in the in crowd. You got to learn to keep yourself still. Keep yourself still. Knowing that there are deceptive spirits that has already gone out into the world, that's in the world. Because it only takes a second for you to move yourself from out of the hand of God into the hand of the enemy. And you don't know when your time is going to expire. So it's best that you listen to what God said. He said, watch as well as pray. Watch as well as pray. How many of us are watching and praying? You need to be on your assignment. Because the Bible said the devil is like a roaring lion seeking who he can devour. Will he devour you? Will you be established? Will you stand for what God has called you to stand for? One of the greatest part of Jesus' ministry, he told his disciple, know the truth and the truth will make you free. But why is it that saints don't like the truth? When you correct a believer in love, they leave the church. When you tell them they're wrong, they cuss you out and ask you, who do you think you are? The Bible said if you see your brother or sister in a fault, you should correct them so that you save their souls from hell. Would you rather me let you go in the pit? Or do you rather me let you stay in the kingdom of God? Because if I love you, I'll tell you the truth. And the truth will not only set you free, but keep you free. Yes. If you want to be free. See, saints want to remain free. Because who have the Son of Man made free is free indeed. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Liberty to worship, liberty to serve. You don't have to be bound if you don't want to. You don't have to be bound. You can be free in Christ to do the will of God. You can be free in God to worship. You can be free enough to do what you have been called to do. Still or quiet, The water represents rest and refuge and safety and security. We can trust in our life that the Lord is going to keep each and every one of us safe. Verses 3. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. He restoreth my soul, meaning our God will bring back, namely from its arrow or our wandering ways. How many of us have wandered off and gone into different things that is not of God? But thank God for his grace. Thank God for his mercy. Thank God for his love that he brings us back. He's so awesome. No creature is more ready to go astray than a sheep and more at loss to find its way back. All we are like sheep have gone astray. And we are prone to do what we want to do at times. To leave the right way of the truth and our duty and to turn aside into bypath. We find ourselves in need of God's forgiveness and restoration, which he offers freely to those who repent and return unto him and begin to do our duty. He restoreth our soul. If it did not do so, we would wander endlessly and be like a wretched undone on our way to a burning hell. By accepting Jesus into our lives, he brings back our lives from destruction and converts our souls from sin and iniquity and bring us back to eternity with him that we may not perish. God also heals our backsliding and restore it to his favor. We can never stray so far that God's long arm does not bring us back, but because of his grace. His grace. You can't go so far that God won't bring you back. That's why it's very important that I don't understand. How can you have accepted Christ and lived for Christ all these years and then think you are just going to walk away? It don't work that way. When God's hands is on you, there's only, it's like the staff. He lends you out a little bit and then he begins to slowly pull you back. And you have to understand, because you're a sheep, you have to hear his voice. Because you are sheep, he hooks you back into the right path. He will let you sin for a while, but he won't let you stay there. He will let you feel like you are all alone for a while, but he'll bring you back into the right path. You can be mad at us for a long time, but eventually he's going to say, you over it now? Let's get over your feelings. Get yourself together. Because the type of God that we serve is so loving and so patient with us. He said that I wish that no one should perish. And that's the understanding that we need to understand. No matter where we go or what we do, God still loves us. God still cares. God's arms are still wide open. No matter where you think that people are wrong or you are wrong, God still can make you wrong into right. If you look at the disciples, each and every one of them was messed up from the floor up. They were cussers. They were liars. They were all type of thing. But God used them to upset the world. God can use you in your mess, but he'll deliver you and clean you up and begin to use you. Don't think that God can't use you. God needs you. He needs somebody like you that used to be strung out on drugs that can speak to the drug dealer. He needs a liar like you that can turn the truth and show them what is the truth. He needs a gossiper like you that can talk a lot, that can spread the gospel. He can use a person like you that's a busybody, but you'll be busy doing the work of God. He can use a person like you that's been on the ground in your Lodi bar experience, and he'll pick you up and mold you and make you and use you for his use. God is not impressed with the perfect ones. He wants the imperfect ones, because when he works in your life, you can surely tell people, if it were not for God being on my side, the enemy would have swallowed me up. If it was not for God, I don't know where I'll be, but thank God for his love. God needs you and you and you and you and you and you. to do what he needs to do in the earth realm. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness, in the plain, straight, and safe path, which the sheep of the Lord pasture, are neither hurt, nor weary, nor in danger of wandering. The Lord promises to lead us into the path of righteousness and keeping with everything his name represents: holiness, love, faithfulness, wisdom, power, and more. He does not permit us to wander into that would lead us to ruin. And that's why it's very important that you have the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is like a navigation system. He will tell you when you remain on the straight path. He will guide you and lead you to your destination. Your destination end is to go to heaven and hear these wonderful words: well done, my good and faithful servant. But sometimes, because we are sheep, we sometimes veer off the highway. We do an exit. And the Holy Spirit is like a navigation system that speaks to us and said, rerouting. We need to calculate your destination back onto the straight path. When the Holy Spirit begins to speak to you, like the voice in your navigation and system said, you are off track. We've got to reroute you. You've got to get back onto the straight path. Rerouting, rerouting, rerouting. And after a while, if you don't listen, it shuts up. That is just like the Holy Spirit. We suppress it when it's telling us we are off track, we are off course, we are going into the wrong direction, we are going into the wrong place. And when you listen to the Holy Spirit tells you to repent and to get back to your first love and get back to where you need to be. The Word and the Holy Spirit are working in our lives to keep us on the straight and the narrow path. The truth of God will be revealed by the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I am the Comforter. I am the Spirit of Truth. And when the Spirit of Truth come into your life, it will teach you everything that you need to know. Why is it not a lot of people asking for the Holy Spirit? You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. If you are going to live a Christian life and remain here for a while, you will need the Holy Spirit. Because can I guarantee you, if you don't have it, you will be like a sheep wandering in the wilderness. You need the Holy Spirit to empower you. You need the Holy Spirit to direct you. You need the Holy Spirit to lift you up when you were down, when you can't reach anybody else. You need the Holy Spirit to break every chain in your life. You need the Holy Spirit to speak to you in your ears and say, don't take that way this week. Go the other side, because I know what's ahead. You need the Holy Spirit to guide you and to lead you into the right path. So it is vital that we ask God for the Holy Spirit if we are not filled. We need the Holy Spirit. We need the Word of God. And as we study and read the Word of God, God will give us power to tread upon serpents and scorpion over all the power of the enemy. For his name's sake, not for any merit, but merely for the demonstration of the glory of his mercy and faithfulness. For his name's sake. That's why the Word of God says, for the steps of a good man, which are ordered by the Lord. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Are your steps being ordered by God? He said, if you acknowledge me in all of your ways, hear that word all again, all of your ways, I will direct your path. Woo, isn't that powerful? He said, I will direct your path, keep you in the path of God. Verses 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley and of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. God is with us, and his presence gives us strength and hope. The point of Psalms 23, verses 4 is that even when we might have reason to be afraid, we do not need to fear, because God is with us. He will take care of us. He's like a shepherd, knows what he is doing and has our best interests in mind. That's why the word of God says in Romans 8 and 28, all things work together for good. Hear that word again. All things. We keep getting these all. We should title this the all factor. The all factor. One of the key things you must understand, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Understand that what you're going through, it's not just by accident. He has already set you up for your blessing. He knows each and every one of us. He knows what you can handle and what you can handle. He knows what I can handle. That's why it's working for my good. And I understand that the trying of my faith worketh patient. Patient experience. Experience hope. And hope make it not ashamed. I understand that what I'm going through now, if I suffer with him, I will reign with him. If I deny him, he will deny me. But because I'm suffering for him, I will have my crown of life. We have to understand that we fear not, but only believe. Fear not, but only believe. Believe in Jesus Christ. No matter what the circumstances look like, he said, I will be with you even until the end of the world. Why are we afraid? Why are we timid? Why do we have the spirit of fear? He said, I have not given you the spirit of fear, but of love, power, and of a sound mind. You have the power to change your circumstance. God says, fear no evil. I will not give into fear, but I will confidently rely on the word and in his promises of God, being persuaded that his grace shall be sufficient for me, that he will not make even death work. He will even make death work in our good. Sometimes this is a hard thing for saints to grip and understand. When we lose family member, understand that it is for their good. God got them in his hands. I know it's difficult. I know it's hurting. And I really believe that one of the person that's really dealing with a lot of experience of loss and understanding and gripping with this is our pastor and first lady. They have lost a lot of loved one over the last 4 months, but they understand that they're in a better place. They understand, and we should too, understand that even though they're not here, they have no more pain. They have no more sorrow. They have no more brokenness, but they're in the arms and the bosom of the Almighty God. We have to understand that God's promises are going to be fulfilled in our lives. Understand that according to Jeremiah 29 and 11, the Bible says, for I know the plans I have for you, declare the Lord, the plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plan to give you hope and a future. Know that whatever course or you are on, it's working in your favor. It's working in your favor. It's working in your favor. God's plans for you are already in motion. He knows your beginning and he knows your end. If you put your trust in him, he will work it out in your favor. His spirit is comfort himself where he is support, and comfort cannot be wanting. His rod of chastisement and correction also ministering to the comfort of his people, and much more his staff of support, his upholding grace. The staff is used as a defense and protection by the shepherd to defend his sheep from dogs and wolves and other ferocious animal that are trying to harm them or attack them. It is the same way God protects us from out of the hands of the enemy. When you look at the book of Job, what happened is when the angels came to meet together, Job's name was brought up by the enemy and saying that he wanted to touch his body or touch him. But God said, I give you permission in such and such. It is the same way with each and every one of us. The devil cannot do anything to you or against you. No witchcraft, no necromancy, no voodoo, no backbiters, no liars. No one can do anything against you without God's permission. God permits it. And if God permits it, God wants you to learn something from it. And you've got to trust God in the process. No matter what they try to do against you, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue that rise against you in judgment, thou shalt condemn. It is an inheritance of the believers in Christ. If you believe that, clap and say amen. The shepherd used the staff to lead and guide us. That's why it's very important that we listen to our shepherd, because he knows in advance what's going to take place. God doesn't have blind shepherd. One thing that you will understand, that a lot of times when you look at Bishop, he is looking at you. He's not being sidetracked. He's looking at you because of what God has already spoken to him. And he's waiting for the manifestation. That's why sometimes he doesn't talk much. He listens more than talk, because he's hearing from God. Here, the tools represent, the staff represent the protection, cares, and guidance, and not symbolism of discipline. The staff was often used to protect the sheep, and the staff is being used today by God and through our leader to protect us, to help us, to guide us, and to keep us on the straight and narrow path. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of my enemy. I believe everyone can attest to this, because we all got enemies. You want me to point them out? Come on, let's be real. The person living next to you don't even like you because you save. The person next to you on your job can't stand you because you just got a promotion. The person right now sitting next to you may not even really like you, but they're just tolerating you. Let's be real. We're in church, but we got to be real. Let's be real. Your enemies or your frenemies. Your frenemies. Some people are only attached to you because of the stuff you give them. Some people are only attached to you because you can get a prayer through. Some people are only attached to you because you love people. Some people are only attached to you because they know you really saved and they're trying to fade the funk and they ain't really saved and they're trying to get saved and they don't want to be saved, but you really saved. The Bible says, know them that labor among you. You got to watch as well as pray. Try the spirit, whether it be of God. Because not everybody that comes to you is of God. Because the devil will send them too. That's why you got to be keen. You got to let the Holy Spirit. Sometimes you got to ask, but why are you here? Just be bold. Listen, who sent you? Let's just go right to the nitty gritty. Who sent you? And why are you here? Because in your lifetime, there's only going to be maybe about 5 people that's really going to be your best friend. And if you have more than 5, check yourself. I don't care what the Bible says, show yourself friendly, but it doesn't say your best friend. Show yourself friendly. Be careful. There is a difference. There are certain people that can hold your secret, and there's some people that can't hold water. You got to watch. You got to be careful who you let in your business. Be careful who you let in your marriage. Be careful who you tell your problem on your job. Be careful. Be careful. You got to be careful. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemy. Emphasize love and blessings and power that God desires to pour out those to love, to those he loves. God is not stingy. God is not stingy. God is not stingy. Nor his blessing confirmed temporal things. In Christ, we have overflowing joy, overflowing love, overflowing peace, overflowing of everything that he has. We can bear everlasting fruits for God's kingdom. We can overcome impossible challenges when the Holy Spirit fills us, fill our hearts, and our cup runneth over. The Lord not only supplies our needs, but our blessings beyond measure we can even contain. Your enemies were sure by God was going to strike you down because of your failure, because of your issue, because of your circumstance, because of whatever you have experienced, whatever you are going through. They prepare it to stand over you and to gloat as you fell into destruction. But let us be real. If it was not for your enemy, you wouldn't know how to pray. If it wasn't for your enemy, you wouldn't become the intercessor. If it wasn't for your enemy, you wouldn't know who God really is, because they force you to pray. They push you to get yourself together. They push you to get a relationship with God, because they were attacking you, and the only person that can deliver you was God. If you really be honest, you need to send them a card and say, thank you for letting the devil use you, but God use you instead. Come on, let's be real. Because you wasn't praying as much as you used to, until the heat was turned up in your life, until the gossipers began to talk, till they started scandalizing your name, till they started disgracing you, till they come against you on your job. Everybody's against you because you're the saved one. But thank God for using them to push me to my destiny, to push me to where God has called me to be. Thank God that God used them to move me out of my comfort zone and push me into my miracle. Thank God that God used them to who they are. Because you were stagnant. You were comfortable. You were stuck in that same place. You didn't pray as much as you pray now. You didn't hear from God as much as you hear from God now. You didn't have a great understanding like you have now of the word of God. But thank God for your enemies and your frenemies, because they cause you to know God for yourself. Thank God for each and every person, every door that was turned off in your faith, every door that was locked in your faith. Thank God for them building your faith. Thank God for every time that someone said no, God said yes. They prepared to gloat over you. They prepared to scandalize. They prepared to bury you. But thank God for his grace. Thank God for his mercy. Thank God for his love. Thank God for looking beyond our fault. Thank God for doing what he does best, working miracles in our lives. I'm closing our last verse. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the day. Come on. This all. God is so good. All. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. Shall follow me. Say, follow me. Follow me. Follow me. All the days of my life. Not some of the days. Not 30% of the day. Not when I'm still. Come on. Woo! Holy Ghost. All of my days. All of my days. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. God's goodness means we can get things we don't even deserve. His grace and mercy. Thank God for the blood that was shed on Calvary. Because we understand without the shedding of the blood, there is no remission of sin. We understand that it is because of his blood. And the blood has not lost its power. And the blood is still raining today. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood, the blood, blood, the blood, the blood, the blood. When the enemy saw the blood, he had to pass over your children. When the enemy saw the blood, he had to pass over your house. When the enemy saw the blood, he had to run back, because he know you got the power. Woo, Holy Ghost. The blood, the blood, the blood. The blood has not lost its power. It's still powerful today. It's still powerful today. It is because of your blood, Jesus, we are still yet standing. It is because of your blood, we are still here. It is because of your blood that we can lift up holy hands without laughter. It is because of your blood that we can come before the throne of grace. It is because of your blood. If it was not for the blood, if it was not for the blood, what would I do? If it was not for the blood, where would I be when the enemy came up against me like a flood? Where would I be if it was not for the blood? Where would I stand if it was not for the blood? Thank God for the blood. Thank God for the blood. It is because of his blood that each and every one of us right now can say, God, I thank you. God, you are worthy. God, you are awesome. It's because of the blood, the blood, the blood, the blood of Jesus, the blood that washes me white as snow, that cleanses me internally and externally, the blood that he dips me in each and every day, the blood that gives me renewal every day, that he renew my strength, he give me grace and mercy each and every day, the blood that takes over my life. It is because of the blood. It is because of the blood. Can I get a witness? It's because of the blood. The blood, the blood, the blood. The blood. The blood. God's goodness mean that the things that we get, we don't even deserve. The blessings we have, we don't even deserve. If God really, really wanted to pay us back for all of our sin, there's a song I believe said, I don't look like what I've been through. And it's so true. Because if you look at our lives and how we treated our body, thank God that he healed us. Thank God that he delivered us. The things that we have, we don't deserve. If he really wanted to give us what we really deserve, where would we be? Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Some of the stuff we have done, if he gave us the punishment, oh my God, just thinking about his grace and mercy, just thinking about his love, I can't even move from that. We don't even deserve it. We don't deserve his love. We don't deserve his faithfulness. We don't deserve his loving kindness. We don't deserve it, but thank God. While we were yet sinners, he thought about us. While we were yet in our sin, he made a plan. While we were down in Lodi Bar, while we were stricken in sin, he thought about us. While we were going through our issues, he made a plan for us to rescue us back to him. Oh, thank you, God. We don't deserve, I can't even move from that. We don't deserve it. We don't deserve it. Everything we've got, and yet we are still unthankful. Everything he gave us, yet we are still not happy. Everything we've been through, and he brought us through. Stuff that you've been through, people done gone crazy. Stuff you've been through, people died. Stuff you've been through, people are in the mental institution. Stuff you've been through, nobody didn't come back. Stuff you've gone through, God delivered you from. But you are still standing. You are still standing. You are still in the house. You can still lift up holy hands. You can still give him glory. You can still praise him. You can still say, thank you, Jesus. You can say, glory. How many know that we don't even deserve what the blessings? How many know that we don't deserve the miracles he performed for us? The things that he does for our children. The thing that he does for our sons and our daughters. The thing that he does for us in our home. The thing that he does for us in our job. The thing that he does for us. Even right now, you being in this place, that you are standing. I just can't get off of that. We don't even deserve it. We don't even deserve it. If we really look back over our lives, Jesus. Hallelujah. Just looking at my life, I'm grateful that you didn't smite me away like dust. Woo, hallelujah. You didn't shake my foundation, but you kept my foot on the solid rock. On Christ I stand. All the ground is sinking sand. Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 His goodness, his mercy, his goodness, his mercy is everlasting. His truth endured for all generations. All generation. All generation. All generation. Psalms 105. All generation. God's goodness and mercy is never ending, never ending, never stops. It continues. It passes on to the next generation, to the next generation, to the next generation, to the next generation, to the next generation. We cannot count on his unfailing. We can count on his unfailing love. Every day for as long as we live, the Lord covenant with us will last for eternity. His gift to us is eternal. We will be with him forever. God's favor would continue. If we stay in his will, nothing can separate us from the love of God. If we do not separate ourselves from him and the experience we have had of his goodness and mercy, we will remain with him. That is the word for this morning. The all factor. The all factor. If there's no one here, if anyone here that's not saved, today is your day. I will not leave here. Let him be your shepherd. Let him be your shepherd. Sister Johnson, sister, I don't want you to leave. There's a word for you. Come before you leave. I want to give it to you before you leave. Your sister, Sister Foreman, come on. Come on down. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, ushers. Come on, come on. Let's go. If you're not saved, come. Come. Let today know. Hallelujah. Thank you. Hallelujah.